I'm Avi Arditi with Roseanne Skirbel, and this week on WordMaster, a happiness meter built on word choice. We continue our conversation with Chris Danforth, a mathematician at the University of Vermont. He and his colleague, Peter Dodds, did a computer analysis of the feelings expressed in almost 10 million sentences written by 2 million English-speaking bloggers. Each sentence received a happiness score based on their use of 1,000 or so words. These came from an unrelated psychology study in which college students rated the words on a scale of 1 to 9. Words like paradise and love rate high. Words like hostage and trauma rate low. Chris Danforth says demographic data, like the blogger's age, was also factored in. And guess what?
Happiness really does change as you move through your life as a function of age. You know, these sociologists have always wanted to say that there's this sort of mountain-shaped curve as a function of age, and that's exactly what we saw for these 2 million people, and that's one of the first times that it's been seen.
How do you think your study addresses the American character and our happiness?
You know, there's a couple other things that we found that are, I think, a little bit more related to the American experience. So one thing is that, you know, that we found that happiness follows roughly the same curve as a function of distance from the Earth's equator. So it sort of rolls over and peaks somewhere near the center of the United States in that latitude, around 35, 40 degrees latitude. And the work week turns out to be a part of this story, too. So the weekends tend to be fairly happy, and Wednesday turned out to be the saddest day. So people's daily experience is being reflected somewhat in what they're saying. And this is more of a story, we think, for Twitter messages, which we just started to pay attention to about a year ago.
These 140-character messages, little tweets.
Right. They're a little bit more fresh. They're more about what you're doing right now and less about, you know, something you've been thinking about for a long time or something you're complaining about or something you did yesterday, which is what bloggers tend to be writing about.
So where do you go from here?
So that's really the next step for us is using these Twitter messages. In terms of the bigger picture, you know, we're thinking that this down the road could turn into something like a gross national happiness index like the country of Bhutan has. And it would be nice if, you know, if we had a way to measure in real time how people are doing around the world in a way that was non-reactive, that they didn't know we were doing it. We're doing our best to observe them in a natural environment and not deal with the problems of self-report that show up in some of the other studies.
The title of your paper is Measuring the Happiness of Large-Scale Written Expression, Songs, Blogs, and Presidents. We've talked a little bit about blogs, but how do the songs and presidents fit in?
We decided initially that we would look at songs to see if what we were doing made any sense. So I downloaded all the song lyrics available on the internet over the last 60 years or so worth of music, and I wrote a program to go to the iTunes database and query the genre and release year for each one of these songs. And we ended up finding that happiness really has been declining in music lyrics fairly significantly over the last 45, 50 years. Broken down by genre, we saw that, you know, the music really hasn't changed very much. Gospel and soul is very happy, and pop music and country music, folk music, those are all flat as a function of time. And then in the 80s, you start to see hip-hop and rap and punk and metal and industrial, and the appearance of those genres is really responsible for pulling down the happiness as a function of time for all of the music lyrics. You know, we also downloaded all the State of the Union addresses and for all the presidents. And we found that, you know, John F. Kennedy, not surprisingly, was the one whose rhetoric ended up being the highest, and Eisenhower and Reagan scored fairly high. And we found that as a function of time, the happiness scores for these State of the Union addresses tended to match world events fairly accurately.
Now, out of all these words, do you have a favorite happy word that makes you feel good when you come to work each day?
Well, there's, you know, 1,034 is a lot of words, right? And occasionally we'll look through the list and wonder why somebody decided that word should make it. And I think one of my favorites is pancakes. So pancakes gets a 6 out of 9 on the happiness scale. And I know that when I'm making pancakes for my daughter, I'm usually pretty happy.
You can find the first part of our interview with Chris Danforth from the University of Vermont at our website, voanews.com/wordmaster. The research paper is in the Journal of Happiness Studies. And that's WordMaster for this week. With Roseanne Skirbel, I'm Avi Arditi.